Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. We're in the middle of a series of studies on Paul's letter to Christians in Rome, Salvation by Faith Alone. And we're at that part of the series where we're looking at practical application for our lives today. Our topic for today's study, overcoming evil with good. It is a vitally important topic. I know some of you may be experiencing attacks in your own life, someone you know or love. There is victory in Jesus. And we want to encourage you to stay with us as we study today. Great to be together as a team, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'm excited today because one of our team, Puya, is going to be teaching.
Yes.
And you know what's exciting to me is that many of you are downloading the outline from our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Just like we have the outline here for our study, and you can make copies, share it in a small interactive Bible study group, you can become a Hope Sabbath School teacher right where you are. So it's exciting to see people leading out for you. We're looking forward to the study today. And we're glad that you're with us for this amazing study on overcoming evil with good. We're always happy to hear from you. Here's a few emails that we've just received recently. Rita, thanks for writing to us from Denmark, and she says, I thank God for Hope Sabbath School. Thanks for your smiles. See, it does make a difference, doesn't it? And the warm and happy way of sharing Jesus. I always use your outline when I prepare to lead my Sabbath school. Thanks for helping me.
Amen.
Now she's honest. Sometimes I only have 1 hour to prepare. Then I print the outline, listen to your program while I'm writing my notes. That's the emergency version. If I have only 1 minute, then I pray, print the outline, and do my best. Well, I think it's better to actually watch the program as well as the outline, Rita. But we're glad that that resource is helpful for you. Isn't it amazing to think about 10,000 Hope Sabbath Schools happening around the world and not just one that we watch? So we're glad that you're not only a participant, but a teacher. Timothy writes to us from Kenya. He says, I'm blessed by Hope Sabbath School, and I'm inspired by the deep insight about the Word of God. Now, I don't feel that we're that profound, really, but do we not pray while we're discussing?
Yes.
Say, God, help us. Sometimes you may bring a Bible text to your mind that's exactly what someone needs to hear. May God continue to bless you as you minister His Word. The Bible says this gospel will be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come.
Amazing.
Well, we're glad that we can be part of that, Timothy, and that you can too there in the beautiful country of Kenya. Here's a note from Ibrahim. Ibrahim.
Ibrahim.
So that's like Abraham, isn't it? Ibrahim in Nigeria. And Ibrahim says, I'm a medical student here in Nigeria. I'm also a lonely young man. But Hope Sabbath School has kept me good company to the glory of God.
Amen.
All right. That's beautiful, isn't it? May the good Lord continue to reveal to your hearts life-changing methods for presenting the studies that will heal the wounds of the world. Amen.
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 Thank you for writing to us, Ibrahim, there from Nigeria. And you know, that loneliness of heart, it can be met through Christian friends as well as through our relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
Well, Callan writes to us from South Dakota in the United States of America, says, I'm a traveling nurse in North and South Dakota. For those of you watching, that's right in kind of the heartland, isn't it, of the United States. I love to watch Hope Sabbath School because sometimes I'm on location where there's no church nearby. I listen twice on Friday evenings and Sabbath mornings. Thanks for being there for us.
Amen.
Well, may the traveling nurses of the world be blessed through Hope Sabbath School. Callan, we're glad for your ministry to people who are hurting, and we're glad that Hope Sabbath School can minister to your heart. One last note from Brighton. Brighton is a Zimbabwean working in the United Arab Emirates. And Brighton says, greetings, Hope Sabbath School team.
Greetings.
I work in Dubai along with my wife. We're both from Zimbabwe. We don't miss Hope Sabbath School every Friday evening after a busy week. We are really blessed, and we are encouraging our friends to watch Hope Sabbath School too. May the Lord bless your ministry till Jesus comes again. Well, Brighton, God bless you and your wife there. You're shining lights, I'm sure, in that area of the world. And I just want to thank each one of you for writing to us. We love to hear from you. sshope@hopetv.org. I also want to thank you for your prayers and for your support. You know, when we partner together, we can all do something. And if you've not yet made that commitment, you say, I'd like to help support this global ministry, you can go to hopetv.org/donate and say, I want to partner with you, Derek. I want to partner with the team to share the gospel with the world so that we can hear amazing emails like this of people whose lives are being changed.
Amen.
Talking about life, do you know that life is not always easy? You say, Derek, I already knew that. Well, I've got a promise that we've been singing for this series. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. It's taken from Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans 8, verse 28 and verse 31 and 32. I hope you've already learned it. If not, you can download it from our website, MP3 file, sheet music. Share it with your group. Let's sing it together right now.
And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Things. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?
Puya, I'm really looking forward to our study today. God bless you as you teach.
Amen. Shall we pray as we begin our lesson? Our dear merciful Heavenly Father, God, we come to You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for this wonderful time and opportunity that we have today to study this lesson. We pray that, God, You will be with us so that we may understand the lessons that You want us to learn today. And we pray not only for our Sabbath School members here in the studio, but we also want to pray for our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. Be with Amen. Them wherever they are, whenever it is that they are watching this episode. God, we thank You for Your love, and we know that You will be with us because we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. So this series, we are, as Derek mentioned, we're studying on the book of Romans. And up to this point, we have been focusing on the doctrinal part of the book of Romans. Mm-hmm. So if we are to divide the book of Romans into two parts, from chapter 1 to chapter 11, it focuses more on the doctrinal parts, the theory. But starting chapter 12 until the end, chapter 16, we're talking more about the practical applications that we can apply in our daily life. So I'm really excited about this lesson. And the title of our lesson today is Overcoming Evil with Good. So we'll be talking about what are the practical lessons that we can apply to our daily lives from this study, and also what are the duties that we have as Christians? Mm-hmm. What are we supposed to do mm-hmm. after accepting Jesus, right? Andre, can you please start our study by reading Romans chapter 12, verse 1?
Absolutely. I'm reading from the New King James Version. In Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen. Thank you for reading that. So what image do we see here? What is God calling us? What is Paul writing to us here, telling us? What picture do we have? What imagery or analogy? Andre.
Well, I mean, when it says reasonable service, I mean, this is like your basic service. This is the baseline. I mean, you should give no less than this.
Right.
And so then to sacrifice yourselves, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy acceptable to God, right. That should be the baseline, and we take it from there.
Right. You know, this reminds me of this picture about sacrifice. Like, mm-hmm. if we go back to the Old Testament, we have this sanctuary system that God instructed the Israelites through their journey through the wilderness. And back then, they used to sacrifice, starting then, until Jesus came at least, the idea was that they were to sacrifice animals, they were to kill and sacrifice animals.
Now, actually, Puya, right. even all the way back to
right,
when
right.
they were taken out of the garden, mm-hmm. maybe not such an elaborate system
right.
of morning and evening sacrifices mm-hmm. and all kinds, but even with Adam and Eve is this promise of the Messiah who's to come.
Right.
But so it started there. I like the yes. fact, though, this is not a dead sacrifice.
Yeah. Right.
It's asking us. He doesn't want us to die. He wants
right.
us to live for him.
Mm-hmm. So Paul is asking us here to offer our bodies, our lives, as living sacrifice. He's not asking us to kill ourselves, right? As living sacrifice. So what does it mean to offer ourselves as living sacrifice to God? And he mentioned that it is a reasonable service. Hmm. So why is it reasonable? Yes, Rodney.
Well, I like the phrase there. It says, by the mercies of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So
as a result of God's mercy, what God has done for me and for all of us, our natural reaction to that will be service. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So as a result of what God does for us, our action is service.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Yes, Kyle.
Well, it's reasonable because Christ was the sacrifice for us. Mm-hmm. So he sacrificed himself for us. So anything that I give back to him is really no sacrifice at all.
Yes.
I mean, any sacrifice I make in my life is nothing compared to what Jesus did for me. So it only makes sense that I would want to give my life back to him and mm-hmm. live for him.
Amen, amen. I think that's a good point. Michael, can you continue our study by reading verse 2 of chapter 12?
Yes, from the New King James Version. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Mm. Amen. Amen. So what important lesson can we learn from this verse alone? Mm-hmm. Anything? Yes, Kenneth.
Yeah, as the world moves towards its end, we realize that most of the time people begin to follow people blindly because we call them the people of the world who have influences. But the Bible is warning us to be nonconformist, to make sure we stick to what God has given us and not following blindly, which will lead us astray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Now, let's continue our study and take it even further. What's next for Christians, right? Now that we have accepted Jesus, and now that we're followers of Christ, what is the next step? Alisa? Oh, yes, before that.
I just wanted to share, before we talk about the practical, right. It doesn't say transform yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It says be transformed. That's a passive. That means someone is doing the transformation on you. I was looking, it also referenced in my Bible, Ephesians 4:23, which says, be renewed. But that's not something you do to yourself. So we know the same awesome Savior who gave Himself for us is the one who wants to transform us.
Amen.
We just have to be willing to let that happen.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you. Yes, Andre.
And, you know, Puya, when we look at it, the world understands psychologically that they can program our minds as children. So the television shows, the characters that we watch, the cartoon characters, are developing the characters of our children. And so they put a lot of information into their minds, a lot of concepts about the way the world is and how they should live and think. And so by a certain age, these things are there because the children's minds are like sponges. So when we talk about being transformed by the renewing of our mind, now the world has conformed us to what they want us to be. They formed us into what they want us to be. God is saying, if you allow me, I will now take all that mess and transform you and renew your mind and give you the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Powerful, powerful. Yes, Andrew.
Well, remember, as a man thinketh, what? So is he.
Right.
Where is our focus? Is our focus on the world? Is our focus on our own feelings, our own emotions? Or is our focus on Christ? As a man thinketh, so is he. Our focus needs to be continually on Christ.
Amen. 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 Yes, Rodney.
And I like the part of the body that is renewed. Mm. Not our hands, our toes. It is the central unit of our being, the mind. Changing the inside, being reflected out. And only Jesus can do that for us.
Amen. Powerful.
Beautiful.
I think this point alone is very powerful already from this lesson. Alyssa, can you continue reading verse 3 to verse 8 of Romans chapter 12, and let's continue studying our lesson. Yes.
I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly.
Amen. These are very practical lessons that we can take from these verses of Christian living, right? What we're supposed to do. Nancy, can you kindly read for us 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11? And I want to connect the previous verse that Alyssa just read about this picture of Christians as a part of the body of Christ and the gifts that God has given to us. So we may not all receive the same gifts, right? So God has given us many different kinds of gifts. So how can we receive this? We'll answer that question after Nancy read the verse.
Okay, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Okay. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills.
Amen. So what do we see from these two texts that we have read from two different books, but talking about the same point about this gifts that God has given to us after we are part of His family, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yes, Kenneth.
One thread that I see through the text is that these gifts were not given for us for the profit of our selfish gain, but to benefit the entire church, to benefit the entire human race.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm thinking also that it says, interesting why he keeps saying that by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit, by the same Spirit. He's just trying to say it's not different spirits, it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And he ends by saying, and he gives as he wills. Right?
Right.
It's not my choice. Mm-hmm. I think my challenge is to find out what gift he's given me and use it.
Right.
That's really what Romans is saying. Use, if you've got a gift that the Spirit of God has given you, use it.
Yes.
Thank you for saying that. So the next question would be, so how do we discover it? So how do we discover the gifts that God has given to us? Yes, Lourdes.
When I came to church, I didn't know what to, how to help out in the church. And I guess first was praying. Praying will help. Mm-hmm. And then also, I guess, trying different things. Yes. I tried singing and that didn't work out. I can't sing very well. And then one time they asked me to speak up front and I was really, really nervous. But then I really liked it. I really enjoy it. So I guess first it will be praying. And then trying different things out, and God will put a passion, a fire in your heart, and you can follow. And maybe God will give you more gifts.
Amen. Amen. That's a very practical way of discovering your gifts. Anyone else? Yes, Laurel.
Yeah. So in my home church, we took spiritual gifts inventories as a part of as an exercise for us as a church. And one of the steps that we needed to take was to talk to like two other trusted church members and ask them to, what do you see in me? Mm-hmm. Like what do you, like as one spiritual person to another, like what do you see that I can do? Do you see me as someone who has the potential to lead out in a Sabbath school? Am I good at singing up front? am I enthusiastic? Just those are the sort of things. So having that spiritual mentor to help guide you, as well as prayer to God, as Lord has just mentioned, that can really help you discern what your spiritual gift is.
Amen. Those are very practical. You see, the good news here, I think, is we're all given a spiritual gift by God. You may not know exactly what that yet, but as you have pointed out, I believe it is important for us to go out and step out in faith, right? Yes, Derek.
I think that there's an interesting, there's two ways of looking at spiritual gifts. One is I take a little test and find out what it is. And that may be true. I like what Lord has said also. I do something and see how it goes. And then I maybe get testimony from someone saying that was a real blessing. But I also think, if God's calling you to do something, if you step out, He'll give you the gift you need.
Amen. Amen.
So I say, I really sense the Holy Spirit teaching me, calling me to teach Hope Sabbath School, to say, well, I took an inventory and that's not my gift. Instead of saying, but God is really calling me. Is it possible that if I step out in faith, that He'll give me the gift that He needs me to use? I don't know. I think it's probably both.
Amen. Very, very interesting here. Kyle, can you read for us the next verse, Romans 12, verse 9?
Romans 12, verse 9?
Verse 9, yes.
If I can just, can I say something real quick for you, since you called on me? I just want to say that, you know, with spiritual gifts too, everybody has a spiritual gift. So don't think that maybe you don't have it. Maybe someone's out there that thinks, oh, maybe I don't have a spiritual gift. No, the Spirit, God promises to give us spiritual gifts, so you know, we can just rest assured that God will use us when we're open to the leading of His Spirit. So I just had that on my heart, wanted to
share.
Thank
you for sharing.
Okay, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, 9 through 20?
Verse 9.
Just verse 9? Okay, I'm sorry. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, and the Bible says, to another faith, I'm reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me jump over to Romans. Sorry, guys. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good.
So right after Paul talks about the spiritual gifts, the next word that he wrote very clearly is love. It's very interesting because not just here in the book of Romans, also at the book of Corinthians, after speaking about the gifts, the next thing he talked about was love. So what is this all about? What's love got to do here in terms of spiritual gifts, and what's the point of love in a Christian, you know, as in a Christian life? Yes, Kenneth.
You know, love manifests itself in two ways. Mm. One, our love to God and our love to our fellow men. Mm. If you don't do this, it is not love. Mm. So whenever he talks about it, this spiritual gift is because of your love for God that you have accepted the Spirit to let the Spirit use you to work. And you also have love for each other. That is why you are doing it. So that formed the basis of the Christian foundation for Christian living.
Amen. Yes, Alyssa.
I wondered if we could look at another verse in 1 Corinthians 13.
Oh,
I know this
is
famous, but it shows how the gifts and the love have to be combined.
It's, give us some time to find it. 1 Corinthians
chapter 13, verses 1 through 3.
Verses 1 to 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Mm-hmm. And I have the New Living Translation here. So it says, if I could speak with all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Mm-hmm. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't have love for others, I would have gained nothing.
Mm. Amen, amen. Yes, Andrew.
Well, let's remember that love is a person. Mm. You know, God is love. Mm. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a principle. Mm. And that's pretty much the focus, pretty much there. Mm. God is love. We have love. We have God in our lives.
Amen, amen. We'll come back to that part about love and how we are to relate to one another. But I think the important point here is that love is to be expressed in practical manners, right? Mm-hmm. In our daily Christian living as followers of Christ. It has to be expressed in our daily living. Yes, Rodney.
A friend of mine told me after I got married, he said to me, do you notice that when you're doing your vows, it has nothing to do with you, but has to do with Donna, who is my wife. Mm-hmm. So this is where the love comes from. The love is all about the gifts that we're given is not for ourselves, but as Kenneth said, it is to share it with others and to impact others.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. Now, thank you for sharing that. Oh, yes, Heidi.
I'm sorry. No problem. I agree. I just wanted to add to that. It's kind of like when we're watching the news, unfortunately, we're kind of desensitized, but we watch and we see that something terrible happened to somebody. It's sad for a moment, but we're not as impacted because we don't personally know that person. But when it's someone that you know, that you love, that you care about, it's different. Mm. And God wants us, I think, to love people that way, because then we'll really care about saving them.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Having the heart of Jesus.
Amen.
That's powerful. Ray, can you kindly read for us Romans 12:21, and let's move on to the next part of our study. Now, this will be in connection with the title of our study, Overcoming Evil with God. Romans 12:21.
So I'll be reading Romans 12:21, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, and do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So in light of what Heidi just said about the culture that we are living in now, what practical lesson can we take from this verse? Mm-hmm. Yes, Lourdes.
I have a little story to share.
Yes, please.
My sister-in-law, she told me that she was having a problem with a coworker. She was just basically not being nice to her. She was just mean. It kept going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. She didn't know what to do. So she either decided, I'm going to fight back, or I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Mm. So she had the idea that one day to write her a nice note and left her on her desk. The next day, she found her coming down the hallway, running to her. And my sister-in-law, she's very tiny, very petite, and this other person was very tall, muscular, and she's thinking, oh, no, she's probably going to get mad at me or she's going to do something bad at me. But then when she came rushing and just embraced her and hold her, and she did not let go of her. Things that they've been good friends.
Mm.
But just remind me, that reminds me, there's a vivid example that you can overcome evil with good.
Beautiful. Amen. Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yes,
Guys. Yeah, it just dawned on me that that's also internal as well as external.
Mm.
In other words,
right. The
way to overcome evil internally
mm.
is not just, you know, but it's to overcome evil with good.
Right.
And the ultimate good is when Christ lives in me.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord.
Amen.
Like, Christ, Jesus, I can't handle this battle. It's too hard. Inside of me. Mm. I mean, there's evil out there, we know, but,
right.
but inside. And Jesus, I just, you know, we talked in a previous study about flying the flag over my castle, you know. Amen. It's like, Jesus, I belong to you, and darkness cannot stay where you are. Amen. You're the light of the world.
Amen.
It's like, come inside and overcome the evil with your goodness. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. Yes, Kyle. Thank you for sharing that, Derek.
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with what Pastor Derek said, because someone shared this verse with me one time when I was struggling with some thoughts, and I was just like, I don't know how to get these thoughts out of my head, you know? And this pastor said, and I know this sounds very basic, we should know this, but he said, just memorize scripture, and whenever this thought comes in your head, just say the scripture in your mind, and memorize scriptures. In other words, don't try to, you know, in order to overcome evil, you need to replace it with good. Yeah. Right?
Amen.
So overcoming evil with good. So repeating the scripture, singing the scripture songs even, that is a way practically that day to day, through as you go through life, you can really overcome evil with good in your own heart. And that will impact the way you treat others as well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. I believe that's one of the reasons why we sing Bible verses here, right? Yeah. In Hope Sabbath School. Yes. Yes, Andre.
Well, you know, historically, the early Christians proved that as well. When they talk about how the Roman Empire crumbled, you know, you may have those who say it was for various reasons, but when you really look at it, when they persecuted the Christians, the Christians didn't react by trying to come back with a war against the Roman Empire, but rather, one of my professors always used to say that they accepted the evil and did a complete job of accepting it. Mm-hmm. And God took care of it because they stood in faith. They were persecuted. They were torn apart in coliseums by wild animals and all sorts of things. But they stood by their, you know, in their faith, and God took care of it.
Amen.
Love always wins.
Amen.
Good will overcome evil.
Amen.
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 Thank you for sharing this, because the next part of our study is about relating to the government.
Right. Yes.
Now, you just talked about the situation where the Christians were living in when Paul wrote this letter. So, Andrew, can you kindly read for us Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, and let's see what counsel is Paul giving to the Christians, and ultimately to us as well, on how to relate to the government.
All right, I'll be reading from Romans 13, 1 through 7, from the New King James Version. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath to him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Well, thank you for reading that. It's very interesting now. So, as Andre pointed out, this was a time when the Roman Empire was a pagan empire, knew nothing about Jesus, corrupt at its core, and very brutal, and was about to start the series of persecutions for Christians. And Paul is telling the Christians here, in their relation to the government, to be subject to the government. What interesting thoughts comes to your mind, or what is the takeaway from here? Yes, Kenneth.
Yeah, one thing I get from the lesson is that as Christians, this is how God wants us to conduct ourselves in society. He wants us to submit to the authorities and not to submit our faith. He wants us to do things in a way that will be very honorable and bring glory to the name, not to attract unnecessary condemnation on ourselves. Mm.
But I had some friends who left a communist country because it was impossible for them to follow Jesus and stay there.
Right.
So they risked their lives to get out of that country. Mm-hmm. Now you say, well, if possible, I mean, certainly the Bible talks about praying for people in authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we know that Peter also says, I should obey God rather than man, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So is there not a time, you know, I want to be salt and light, like Hannah said, but is there not a time when I might have to leave?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because I'm not free to honor God in that environment.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for, I think you summarized the idea pretty well here. When Paul said, is telling us to be subject to, you know, to listen to the government bodies, I believe it's important for us to also know that the idea of government itself is found throughout the Bible. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God is a God of order, right? Mm-hmm. God wants us to be living in a communities where we are living by rules and, you know, regulation that can guide our lives. Mm-hmm. Yes, Kyle, before we move on
just,
to the next one.
I was just thinking of a story that is so powerful to me about this principle. Some of you may have heard the book A Thousand Shall Fall and the story of Hazel. I forget his name. Frank Hazel. Sorry. Anyway, he was in the German army during World War II. But to summarize it, he was convicted that he should not carry a gun or should not kill because, you know, he was a Christian. And he actually was in the army, but he carried a wooden pistol instead of a real pistol because he believed that he should not kill. So he was going, you know, he cooperated only as far as his conscience would allow him to cooperate, but he would not transgress the law of God. And so I think that's a really powerful example of someone who really took a stand, even though they were living in a terrible, you know, situation, in the middle of a war in a country that was really going against God. Mm-hmm. But he was able to stand for the right, even though the heavens may fall around him. And so, you know, we need to really, I think, pray for courage in our own, wherever we may be, to stand for God. We may have to cooperate with the society that we live in, but we need to really live by faith, knowing that God will take care of us when we stand for Him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Derek mentioned one practical thing we can do for our government, that is pray, right? Mm-hmm. The other thing we could do, I want us to go to Acts chapter 5, verse 27 to 29. Rodney, if you can kindly read for us that verse, the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 27 to 29. And let's see, how are we supposed to respond to the government when the governments, the rules, or say what we are asked to do from the government is in conflict with what God is asking us to do?
All right, Acts chapter 5, verses 27 to 29, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So what can we learn from here? Where do we draw the line? I know that Derek already talked about, you know, previously.
You know, I noticed something. It's interesting. You can read a text many times and see something new in it. Yes. I always thought Peter says we ought to obey God rather than men. Hmm. But as I was listening again, it says Peter and the other apostles. Yeah. It was like they all said, no, God, you know, if your command and their command was don't tell anyone about Jesus. Mm. Basically, that's what the Sanhedrin, the religious part of the government was saying to them. Mm-hmm. They said, we can't do that because Jesus told us to tell people about him.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. But it's just interesting. It wasn't just Peter. It was the whole Christian community that was speaking, all the apostles saying, We all believe that. We've got to stand there. God comes first.
Right. Make a stand for Jesus. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, Kenneth.
And we also realized that this was even a false accusation. Mm-hmm. Preaching about Christ wasn't any evil that they have committed against the laws and regulation. It was because of their personal hatred towards Christ that caused them to give this instruction to them. But they realized that they have a supreme master that they need to submit to rather than mere men giving them instruction as to the object of their faith.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing the background. Yes, Elisa.
I was just thinking, too, I think it's a stronger testimony when someone who's a good citizen in every other realm stands up to something and makes the people around say, you know what, I've always known this to be a good person, so there must be something to this stand that they're taking. But if you're a person who's always kind of in the in the mix creating chaos and you say something, they're going to say, oh, that guy's just always saying something.
Amen.
It's important to be a good citizen and consistent with our actions.
Amen. So in summarizing this section of our study, so I believe we can say that Christians, we are to give our loyal support to our government so long as the claims of the government are not in conflict with God's claims.
Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right.
Amen. So in light of, you know, what Revelation talks about of a future where Christians will be facing persecution again, I believe this is also very important for us living in the last days to know that we should always put God first.
Amen. Right.
Always God first.
Amen.
Now let's move on to the next part of our study. Previously we talked a little bit about this already in terms of how we are to relate to one another. Lourdes, can you kindly read for us Romans chapter 13 verse 8 to 10? Romans 13 verse 8 to 10.
And I will be reading from the New King James Version.
Thank you.
Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you should love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law.
Amen. I have two questions to ask here. The first is, this series we're studying about salvation by faith, right? But Paul spent so much time talking about works and how we should live as Christians. And so the question is, why is Paul doing that? You know, he talks a lot about faith as well, but also a lot about works. What's the relation here? Yes, Andre.
I recently was looking at text that dealt with that very same thing. And I'm coming, I believe the Holy Spirit led me to the conclusion that the works he's speaking of are the works that comprise love. They're loving works. Mm-hmm. We're thinking that it's these other things that we need to be doing when really the fruit of the Spirit, patience, kindness, all of, you know, I always say love is a language, and the sub-dialects are the fruit of the Spirit. Patience, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. Those are the works that I believe he's talking of. But if we allow ourselves to become like the scribes and Pharisees, then we make those works specific things that really have nothing to do with what Paul was talking about.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, Andrew.
Well, faith without works is dead. Right? There has to be an action. Faith is an action itself. Faith is an action. If you have faith in something, there's action there. So faith without works is dead. There's no way I can say I love God and curse or be disrespectful or be nasty. That doesn't make any sense. Faith without action is dead. There's no way around that.
Right. So in relation to what you just said, also with what Lourdes was reading, Paul said to love, in other words, to summarize this, to paraphrase it, to love is the fulfillment of the law. So what if a friend comes to us and say, hey, all that we need to do is just love, we don't need to keep the law anymore, or we don't need to keep the commandments anymore. So how are we to respond to that? Yes, Laurel.
Breaking the commandment is not showing love. So looking at, again, verse 9 in Romans 13, you shall not commit adultery. If you do commit adultery, is that loving to your spouse or to that person's spouse? Mm. Or if you murder someone, is that an act of love right there? If you steal someone's car keys and drive off in their car, are you showing love to the owner?
Mm.
It goes hand in hand. You keep the commandments because you love God and because you love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Yeah. Kyle.
Oh, I love how the commandments, you know, when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are about loving God,
mm-hmm.
and the last six are about loving our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a complete package of love, love to God and love to our fellow man.
Can you read for us that verse from Matthew 22, verse 37 and 39, where Jesus talked about that concept
mm-hmm.
of love being the central theme of the whole commandments of God, right?
Amen.
Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. We'll see here what Jesus mm-hmm. commanded us and what it means to keep the commandments.
Amen. Okay, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself."
I find it very interesting that Jesus, you know, Jesus started by saying, this is the greatest commandment. So one might be expecting to hear the one commandment out of the Ten Commandments, right, in that concept. But Jesus said, love God with all your heart. And he said, the second is like it.
Yeah.
Meaning to say the second part is also as equally important as the first part. And as Kyle pointed out, the first four commandments are our relationship to God. And the next six are relationship to fellow humans.
Mm-hmm.
So love summarizes it all. So meaning to say, do you want to summarize that, Ray? Or do you have another point?
But yeah, well, I was thinking about, we're talking about laws and talk about Paul. He talks a lot about laws, but he also talks a lot about, you know, works. We're saying that he talks a lot about works,
mm-hmm.
but he mentions the word love a lot.
Mm.
And Jesus here does too. So it's in a way that, you know, when you get married or you're in a relationship, You learn how to love somebody. It's a process. You don't automatically know everything about them.
Mm-hmm.
You're learning their love language. You know, they like certain gifts. They don't like certain things. And that, in a way, is unspoken or unwritten rules. Or sometimes they are spoken, like, oh, this is the way you love me.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at it, and Jesus is the same way. The Ten Commandments teach us or demonstrate how we demonstrate our love to Jesus.
Mm.
That's why Jesus said in John 14:14, if you love me,
mm-hmm.
keep my commandments. And it was a prerequisite to keeping the commandments. You know, he says, mm-hmm. first, you got to love me. And then the way to demonstrate that you love me is by keeping the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there's another translation to John 14:15. It says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments.
Yeah. Yes.
Which I think is true, too.
Yes.
And
yes.
it brings us back to mm-hmm. what Paul's been telling us all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's the relationship with God, which will affect our relationships with each other.
Mm. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Alyssa, can you read for us Philippians mm-hmm. chapter 2, verse 5?
Mm-hmm.
I want us to look at this from another angle as Christians living after Jesus has came to this world and after Jesus has died on the cross, you know, in responding to this idea of do we still need to keep the commandments of God or do we not? What does the verse say there?
Yeah, Philippians 2:5 in the New Living Translation says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And I know there's a different word for that
right.
in other Bibles.
Is there anyone with a different version of that? Yes, Nancy.
I have the New King James.
New King James.
So it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Mm. Mm. It's interesting that Paul didn't say, let this mind be in you, which was in Moses. Or David,
mm-hmm.
or all those Bible heroes that we have from the Old Testament, but he said, like Jesus.
Amen.
Meaning to say, for those of us living in the New Test after the New Testament era, mm-hmm. we have an even more higher standard.
Mm.
Mm.
Talk about keeping the commandments of God. We are called to follow Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who is the perfect example of the moral way of living a godly life, right? So I believe if one comes and say, you know, what's the point of keeping the commandments of God? Well, it's what we're called to do as Christians, especially for this generation.
Amen.
And
right?
you know, the context of that too in Philippians 2 is serving each other in love.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jesus humbled himself. He served us in love. And he's saying, I want you to have that same mind of serving each other in love. So it's totally not trying to work my way to heaven or, you know, back to salvation by faith alone. It's not trying to earn God's love. God loved me while I was still a sinner.
Amen.
And he says, now let my love pour through you and serve others in love, just as Jesus did.
Amen. Amen. Now, we want to come to the last part of our study, and Romans 13. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. And Andre, if you can kindly read for us, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And let's see here what Paul is telling us, as what we're supposed to do as Christians in terms of fighting, you know, our daily battles.
Okay. Romans 13, verse 14, I'm reading from the New...
Verse 11 to 14.
11 to 14, I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts."
Those are very practical lessons that we can apply in our daily lives as Christians. I find it interesting also that Paul said, knowing the time, now, right now. Now, this letter was written almost about 2,000 years ago. But it's still very important today, right? Especially for us living in the last generation, that it's really high time that we put off the deeds of the darkness, put on the armor of light. He also said about put on Jesus, right? And we have another verse from Ephesians, which we will not read anymore now, but where Paul also talks about this armor of God that we should be clothed with. And does anyone want to summarize that in relation to what we just read here?
Derek, you know, I think both of them use the verb put on, and in Ephesians 6 also says take up.
Yes.
So it's a choice that we make as followers of Jesus to accept the supernatural protection that he wants to give us. Now, if we didn't need it, he wouldn't tell us to put on the armor of light, right?
Yes.
But he knows that when we decide we want to live for God, we want to love others as Christ loved, that the enemy will attack us. And so he's saying, you need protection. But I think the thing that impresses me is I've got to put it on. I've got to, say each day, not only Jesus, thank you that you're my Savior, but I choose to ask you to protect me from the evil one today.
Amen. I know that you have written a book on this, right? The Radical Protection. And it's very important for us to, as Derek mentioned, we need to ask God daily to shield us, to protect us from these daily battles that we face. You know, we're still living in this world. Until Jesus comes, we'll be here. We'll be fighting our daily battles spiritually. So we really need to have that armor of God, right? Haiti, can you kindly read for us the 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5? And let's look at this from another angle in terms of fighting our battles. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3 to 5, and I want to ask the question, why is it important to fight our spiritual battle with spiritual weapons instead of the weapons of this world?
I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ."
Amen.
So why is it important to use spiritual weapon and not the weapons of this world based on this verse alone? Anyone want to share? And also maybe you can share an experience or two in your personal, you know, battle with temptation or in a daily battle with the enemy and how God is helping you to overcome evil with good. Yes, can it?
I think the text makes it so clear, but every now and then we see people, and sometimes even in our personal lives, we want to fight this spiritual battle with physical things. But God is continually telling us that spiritual things are spiritually dealt with. So we should put on Christ, who ultimately is the entirety of the protection we need. And nowhere in the text it says that we should put it off. He said, put it on.
Put it on.
It's a command for your good.
Amen. Amen. Yes, Heidi.
I had an experience when I was a little girl that for a long time I would hear voices calling my name so much that I thought it was normal. And it kept happening more and more frequently until one day when I was maybe about 7 years old, one morning in my kitchen, a demon actually appeared before me and yelled in my face, which was terrifying. And I remember telling my brother, who ignored me because he's a big brother, but I told my parents as well, and thank God they listened to me. They took that very seriously. And what they did was that we went around our entire house, and in every single room of our home, my father read the Bible out loud, and we prayed in each and every room.
Amen.
And after that, everything stopped.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. Mm. I think that's one of the most important points that we can learn from this lesson, that Jesus is the winner.
Amen. Amen.
If we have Jesus in our lives, Jesus will help us overcome evil with good in our lives.
Amen.
I think that's all for the lesson today.
Thanks so much, Rio. What a great study. And Heidi, thank you for sharing. Maybe as you heard Heidi's testimony, you said, I've experienced that attack too. And sometimes we're hesitant to share because we're not sure if people would think we're a little crazy, or maybe they get afraid and say, don't talk to me about that. But the truth of the matter is, we all come under attack in different ways. But we've learned today that we can overcome evil with Jesus.
Amen.
He is the good.
Amen.
Run to Jesus.
Amen.
And you'll find protection, deliverance, peace in Him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much that you can be with us and that we can, in you, overcome any evil with good. I pray that we would be the kind of citizens in our communities that reflect your love, but that we would stand for you no matter what the cost, knowing, Jesus, that you stand by our side. Amen. May we honor you in all we do and say, not to try to earn your love, but because we love you for being our loving Savior. And Jesus, we thank you in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School. Don't keep the good news to yourself. Share it with those around you.